The Lighthouse, amen. What a great old song. I can't remember the first time I sang that. I must have been, I don't remember, 12, 13 years old. And just always enjoyed the song. I just enjoy music. I enjoy good, godly music. I hope you do as well. A couple of other prayer requests remind you about the jobs. I know Brother Tim walked in, and Brother Tim found out yesterday, that he'll be laid off at the end of next week. So remember Brother Tim Abrams in prayer. Of course, Adam Armstrong looking for a job. But Brother Spence got him a full-time job and started last Wednesday. And so be in prayer for him. And there's still a couple little hurdles. You know, he has to go over to be there to stay there full-time. But it's a good start, and God's been good. A little letter here from John and Linda Allen. Lena Allen, our missionaries of Papua New Guinea. Says, thank you so much for the gift to send the container. And this is all our things are now in the warehouse, ready to be loaded into the container tomorrow. Thank you for your help. Love in Christ, John and Linda Allen. So I thought, I know some of you gave towards that container. And God has been good to the Allens. Also, I heard at the fellowship meeting last week that Miss Linda, now her name is, our missionary to Vanuatu, Mead, and I'm trying to remember her new name. Her father, who pastors up in Indiana, is real bad sick. And last I heard, it was really bad, and maybe even possibility of him passing away. And I haven't heard lately about, but just be in prayer for her dad. And anyway, I was reading their letter. They got back to Vanuatu, I guess, about a week ago and doing well and back already teaching and getting at it. So what a blessing our missionaries are and the work they do. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And I know a couple of weeks ago I told you I was going to preach on some end time events, but I'm going to preach on Christmas, most of the Wednesday nights between now and New Year's. Looking forward to Christmas Day being on a Sunday. And again, we'll have a combined Sunday school church time. We'll start at 10:50. And Brother Henderson will be preaching that morning. And what a blessing that'll be. And so I'm looking forward to Christmas morning, getting up and having Christmas with my kids and have a little extra time before you have to get here. And so I just want to encourage you to be faithful on that day. And Christmas is here. Just something that we'll be reminded about here as we look at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Luke 2, verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, look at verse 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to some people? No, all people. It doesn't say it'll be to the Jews. It says to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they made known abroad. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time we have tonight to come and to look in your word. We pray tonight that the message that will be brought, the word that will be preached, will be a blessing to those who come out. Lord, many are here who are tired and came straight from work and haven't had supper. And Lord, we don't take for granted the sacrifice they've made to be here. And Lord, but we're great to be in the house of the Lord. And Lord, to be around our Christian brothers and sisters and to gather around the word of God. Hiding behind the cross, Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. As we think about, in fact, listening to the news tonight, I have a habit of, I watch the news, and sometimes it just gets real discouraging, doesn't it? Hearing all the murders and all the fires that are taking place, and you know, we can dwell on those things that are fearful and negative and whatever the case is, but we think of all the good news we've heard. I'll never forget my wife telling me for the first time that she was expecting. What good news that was and how excited we were. I think about the good news of hearing about a loved one who has recovered, or hearing about whatever the case is, all the good things that we have, and the good news, hearing the good news of salvation at the age of 6 years old, hearing good news about the work you do at your job, or the work you've done at your job, or what you're about to do at your job. And we all like to hear good news, don't we? Good news is a lot better than bad news. And good news. We see here that the angels delivered great news. Good news. Great tidings to the shepherds. And they gave them the news of Christ's birth. The baby was going to be born. The Messiah was going to be born. And these shepherds abiding in the field received that good tidings. We think about the great days of history. All the great days of history. Think about the great days in American history. Caleb is doing a report and doing a research paper for his school on the founding fathers. Pearl Harbor Day, we think of all the days in American history. We think about those great days. We think about the great days spoken of in the Bible. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That was a great day, wasn't it? That was a great day. Think about Christ being actively involved in the creation and speaking forth the word, let there be light. And we think about all those great days, those 6 days of creation. Think about the great days throughout the history of the nation of Israel and all the great things that God did for them. One of the greatest ones of bringing them out of the Egyptian bondage, and the great day that God gave them as crossing over the Red Sea. And we can go back through all the great miracles that God performed and the good news and great days that Israel experienced. But what a great day it was when Jesus Christ was born. And what good news was brought to these shepherds. A Savior is born. One who will save His people from their sins. I think about that good news. I think about good tidings. I enjoy Christmas time. I enjoy Thanksgiving. I enjoy it all. I know most of you do. Some of you may not. I don't know. I enjoy on Christmas morning, especially with my parents, and my father-in-law does it too, but it's a little more special with me with my dad, and to hear my dad sit down with all the grandkids before the presents are open and hear him read the Christmas story. And for my dad to explain to his grandkids the Christmas story and what Christmas is all about. And to share that great tidings with his grandchildren. To share the good news of salvation. A Savior has been born unto his grandkids. What a blessing that is. I again just take that opportunity tonight to encourage you to take every moment, every time you can get a chance and tell the good news of salvation to those who will listen, especially to your kids and grandkids. I want to dwell a little bit on that word. It says, "Fear not." And the angel of the Lord said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." He said, "Fear not." Fear, that term or that phrase, "fear not," is found 63 times in the Bible. The word "fear" is found over 100 times. We think about that word, "fear not." We live in a day and age which people are fearful. That we have, and I won't go into all of this, but we have a lot of people who are just so discouraged and so ridden with an anxiety and worry that they're just fearful all the time. And can I tell you that, and I'll repeat this here in a moment, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God hasn't given us that spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God is not the author of fear. That's Satan. He's the one that will make you and cause you, and not make you, but cause you to be fearful, whether it's about a job or whether it's about your health or whether it's about a grandchild or your kid or a family or your home. I mean, He's the one that causes you to fear and worry. Listen, you don't have to fear when you know God's in control of all things. And we'll talk about that more in a moment. But our society is permeated with fear. We think about, I visit, and I love Miss Neal, Miss Dorothy Neal. She's a sweet lady. I'm not being sarcastic to a point, Miss Bobby, but Miss Dorothy Neal is a longtime member of our church, with us since the beginning, a widow indeed. And at times she can be a little cantankerous. And she's 87, I believe, now. And for the last 2 or 3 years, I've gone to her home and just, you know, every other week or so and spend a little time with her. I've been doing that now for 16 years, I guess, and spending a little time with her. And in the last 2 or 3 years, she's just become fearful of everything. Miss Bobby will testify to this. And so up until the last 3 months or 6 months, before that, I'd have to come in every time and say, Miss Neal, you know, I know you, and I would read the Star Telegram really on purpose just so I had something to talk to her about. And because I knew she was going to read it, and she'd start bringing up all the stuff she's afraid of. I said, Miss Neal, listen, yeah, I know that's what the Star Telegram says, and that's what's going on. But I mean, you're fearing about something you have no control over. You're worried about something you have no control over. Well, what if they set a bomb off in the Halton City? I said, if they do, then man, all you do is get to go to heaven. I'm trying to encourage her not to be fearful. And when she reads the paper or watches the news, not to get wrapped up in it, thinking whatever the case is. And, you know, she changed her telephone numbers and just did all sorts of things to try and combat this fear that she had. And some of it brought on because of her health and those type of things. But just that fearfulness, I've never seen her that way. If you knew Miss Neal 16 years ago, here's a lady who raised a mentally challenged son who's now in his 60s. Here's a lady who provided for her son, provided a home. I mean, you talk about Miss Independence. I mean, worked hard, did all these things. And now here, because of health, a lot of it, but you know, just fearful. So Miss Neal, you don't have to be fearful. You don't have to worry about these things. But she is just, if you could, a mirror of so many today who are just fearful of everything. You talk to people about America, and you get discouraged about America and fearful about America. You know, we live in the greatest country on earth. You know what? If something happens and she never returns to whatever state economically that we would all want, okay. I don't know about you, but I don't have $1 billion to make any kind of dent in whatever's going on anyway. I'm not in control, amen? God's in control. God rules in the affairs of men. And so we don't need to be fearful. Again, you go to work and you work with people, you go to your neighbors who are just worrying and fearful of everything. And God is not the author of fear. And God did not give us the spirit of fear. Fear not. Whether it's the fear of war or the fear of a loss of a job or the fear of thieves, whatever the case is, let us not be fearful. John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions." You know what? I don't have to fear about America. I don't have to fear about my finances. I don't have to fear about my health. I don't have to fear about my home. I only have to fear about death. Amen. Fear not. Fear not. Just a few of these that are found in the Bible. We see that this phrase was used with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 when the Abrahamic covenant was again repeated unto Abraham. The Abrahamic covenant is that covenant God made with Abraham that all the soil he walked upon he would have, and his seed would be as the sands of the sea and as the stars in the sky in number. And God promised him soil and seed. I said soil on purpose so you guys from the north would understand me. Nolan Ryan says it's soul. So therefore, anything Nolan Ryan says is okay. If he says it's soul or bull, then it's okay. Nolan Ryan wore a pink shirt. I'm not saying that's right yet, but I'm marginalizing on it now that Nolan Ryan was wearing a pink dress shirt. Did y'all see that during the World Series? wore a pink shirt and owned one. I was disappointed. But God promised Abraham. He says here in verse, let's look at verse, you could read a whole bunch of this. Look at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house, this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." Look at verse 4. "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." By the way, that's singular. Galatians says that he said seed singular because he was talking about Christ. I always love to point that out. Christmas time. Verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." He was saved by believing. "Fear not, Abraham, I'm going to bring about the promise that I made to you." Look over at Genesis chapter 26. The same promise was given to Isaac. And here in chapter 26, it was repeated actually twice here. And look at verse 23. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 23. "And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said to him, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well." Fear not. What I want you to see, and though we can cover the seed issue, and I think that's so important around Christmas time, that the seed promised here is the Messiah. We see it throughout all the Old Testament, the promise of the Messiah to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Promised Messiah to come, that seed. Promised to David and the Davidic covenant. Promised the seed that would come that would deliver the people from their sins. The seed that would come who would bring reconciliation between God and man, the Messiah. But here he's saying, "Fear not, I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to keep my promise." Same promise was given to Jacob in Genesis chapter 46. Genesis chapter 46 and verse 3, I'll start in verse 1. "And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make of thee" what? "A great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes." And God simply said, "I will keep my promise. I'll keep my promise I made to Abraham. I'll keep my promise I made to Isaac." And can I tell you tonight that God always keeps his promises? And he's saying tonight, "Fear not. Fear not. I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you." That's a promise. He's promised it. Therefore, he keeps his promise. We don't have to fear about him. He'll never leave us nor forsake. He's right there with us. And all the other promises he's made. Fear not. God always keeps his promises. Think about Moses there at the Red Sea. And I still want to put a message together on that little word, "be still." There's several times in the Old Testament where that word, that phrase is used. But there at the Red Sea, when Moses turned and said to the great congregation of the children of Israel, "Fear not, stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And can I tell you tonight that we just need to fear not and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. How that God absolutely keeps his promises. That God absolutely will deliver us from whatever testing or whatever trial we may be going through. That God has always, he sends us through the fire, but he always has his hand on the thermostat. Remember that. God's in complete control. I'll remind you again, and this is such a great biblical principle, that your worry and your fear is measured against how big your God really is. Daniel was told in Daniel chapter 10, verse 19, to fear not. After he'd been given a vision and he lost all of his strength, and there was a great spiritual warfare taking place between the archangel and the angel of Persia, the demon of Persia, and there was a great spiritual warfare going on, and Daniel was seeing the visions and he lost all of his strength, and the angel came to him and said, Daniel, fear not. And the Bible says after he said that, that Daniel received his strength. I tell you what, fear will sap you of your strength. Fear, worry will sap you of your, honestly, will sap you of your physical strength. But fear absolutely will, you know, zap you, take away that spiritual strength that you have. Why should we worry and fret? Fear not. Paul said the same thing in Acts, Jesus said. Turn over to Acts chapter 18 real quick. Acts chapter 18. And boy, there's a bunch in Acts that we could go to, but Acts chapter 18, verse 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. After he had led the house of Cornelius and all the great things that happened there in Corinth, God just assured him that he was going to take care of him and protect him. Fear not, can I say tonight again, that God will provide and God will protect us. I think about Colossians when I think about how big our God really is. Turn there real quick now. Colossians chapter 1. Again, when we think about the trials and the testings we go through as Christians, we think about the fear and the worry that we have and that sometimes grips us. We think about the devastation that has taken place in our life, maybe through health or finances or whatever the case is. And when we face those things, when we look at those particular events in our life, whatever they may be, we have to take and put those events and on one side, and we look at those, but we got to be careful that we don't just look at those without looking over here at the other side of God and thinking again about how big and how great our God really is. What I'm saying is, as I said before, what I said a while ago, your problems are only as big or as small as your God is big or small. I don't know about you, but Colossians describes God pretty good. He says, verse 15 of Colossians chapter 1. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him, talking about Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. For He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Can I just tell you that God, God made the worlds. God made everything. Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 1 had an active part in creation. Can I tell you that our God, many times in our own mind, is too small. That's why we fear. That's it. We fear, we worry, because our God is not big enough to handle our problems in our own eyes many times. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God is not the one causing you to be afraid. God is not the one causing you to fear. Well, that's just old Satan out to get you, out to discourage you. Fear not. It is Christ who ever liveth to make intercession for us. It is Christ that is on our side. And by the way, if He's on our side, who can be against us, right? We are more than conquerors through Him. We all power is given to us. Listen, we have all that we need to overcome life's problems through the power of the Holy Spirit. Fear not. Fear not. I could just see those shepherds in that field, dark, And all of a sudden, the light appears. The angel appears. I don't know about you, but I'd be afraid. And if I went home tonight and I got on my front porch and started walking down towards my pond, which is now full, thank the Lord for the rain, and get out there where it's really dark and a light appeared in the sky, you know, right there with me, and somebody started talking to me out of the light, I'd be afraid. It says, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. For behold, I bring you. See, he wasn't bringing him bad news, he was bringing him good news. And so, fear not. For I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The good news, again, here for everyone. Not just the Jew, but for everybody. And can I tell you, it's not for just the elect. It's for everybody. All people. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 and 2 says that everyone that thirsteth, come. Come to the waters, it says. Everyone. Everyone. For God so loved the world. I know we repeat this a lot, but Jesus Christ died for all. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For all, any, everyone shall, many, the Bible uses the word many. We think about all the various words that Jesus Christ died for everyone. What great news we have that not God, that Jesus Christ came, the Messiah came, the promised one who was promised to Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and David, that promise seed, that promised Messiah, was not just for the Jews, but that it was for all. I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. What good tidings? What great joy? A Savior is born. A Savior. I'm glad tonight I have a Savior. I don't just have a friend. I don't just have a companion. I don't have just someone who just loves me, but I have a Savior who gave His life for me. A Savior is born. One who will save His people from their sins. One who will heal the brokenhearted, who set the captive free. One who will bring great tidings and great joy. A Savior to save. And basically the angels were saying to the shepherds, the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is here. Which is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, the boss. The Messiah is here. And as we heard, I know Brother Clark's probably teaching it in Sunday school, and we heard Brother Stewart teach at the fellowship meeting here a couple of weeks ago, that if those shepherds were temple shepherds, they would have understood what it meant when he said, Christ the Lord. The Messiah is born. If they were part of that remnant, and the Bible describes it, and we preached it on Wednesday night here several months back, that there was a very small remnant left. We think about Joseph and Mary, the very small remnant who were looking for the Messiah. And if these shepherds were looking for the Messiah, then they understood the term Christ the Lord. The Messiah is here. Listen to this now. Fear not. The Messiah is here. What joy that must have brought to them. And then they got absolutely curious. Well, let's go see. Let's go see what this is. Good news was brought to the shepherds. But not just to the shepherds, it says, was brought to all people. A Savior is born. And because the Savior is born, we must not fear. Again, the devil is the author of fear. We don't have no need to fear or be afraid. This great tidings of good joy was given to everyone. And the shepherds, verse 17, made it known abroad after they saw the Savior. And can I tell you again, during this Christmas season, the opportunities are many that we would have to share, to spread abroad this great joy and these good tidings. Let's take that opportunity. I know someone asked tonight prayer for Miss Sandy, praying for a loved one who's lost. Many of you will be celebrating Christmas with ones who are lost. Let's pray that God will give us the opportunity to spread abroad this good tidings and great joy. Amen. Men of Salt.